मुकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, by whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna, the charioteer of Arjuna, be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. The Bhagavad Gita, last time I discussed the introductory part of the first chapter of the Gita. The first chapter is called Vishada Yoga, the chapter of grief. As I told you, Gita has 18 chapters. The first 6 chapters deal with Karma Yoga. Next 6 chapters, from 7 to 12, deal with Bhakti Yoga. And next 6 chapters, that is 13 to 18, deal with Jnana Yoga. Bhakti, devotion, brought harmony between path of action and path of contemplation, path of knowledge. So in this respect, Gita is a beautiful scripture, the scripture of harmony, the scripture of liberation. If you want to study the Gita, first of all, you should have competency. What is the competency? You must be a hero, strong, bold, like Arjuna. Second, the subject matter of the Gita is self-knowledge, Atmavidya. What is the relationship between the Gita and myself? Why should I read the Gita? As I told you, Bodha Bodhaka Sambandha. This knowledge, the teachings of the Gita will give me the conviction that I am the self, I am the Atman. What is the necessity of studying this scripture? Ajnana Nivrittihi, Paramananda Praptihi, cessation of ignorance, destruction of ignorance, and the attainment of bliss. That is the subject matter, that is the necessity or the goal of the Gita. The gist of the first chapter, again I shall tell you, so that when we begin the book, the text, you will be able to follow better. When the Mahabharata war was inevitable, Vyasa, the great illumined sage, came to Dhritarashtra, that blind king, who had 100 sons. The Dhritarashtra actually was the son of Vyasa. And he said to him, "My son, do you want to see that holocaust, that war? I asked you not to get involved in the war. I asked you to bring armistice between these two belligerent powers." You see, the Pandavas are Dhritarashtra's nephews, younger brothers, 5 sons, and his 100 sons. These 100 sons are unrighteous and those five sons of Pandu are righteous. So it is the battle between the unrighteousness and righteousness. So it is better to stop this war. I told you to stop it. You had that power because you are the king. Though you are blind, though physically you are not ruling this country, but your sons are supposed to obey you. Please stop this war. But you didn't. Because you are succumbed by delusion. You are partial. You are blind not only physically, mentally also. You are infatuated by Maya. Now the war is inevitable. Do you want to see that war? Though you are blind, but I have a power. I can give you divine sight so that you can see the whole war. I can give you clairvoyance and clairaudience power. No, I don't want. Then let me engage somebody who will report the news of the war to you. And so he engaged Sanjaya. Actually, Sanjaya means he whose victory is decisive. He was a minister of Dhritarashtra. He had control over his mind and senses. He was truthful, straightforward, impartial. So, Vyasa gave him supernatural powers, clairvoyance and clairaudience power. What is going on in the battlefield, he can see. And he can listen to the conversation also. So, he could report ad verbatim to this blind king. You see, as I told you in the very beginning of the drama of the Gita is very dramatic. It is a drama. Drama of life. The whole life is nothing but a drama. We are all acting. When we act badly, we blame the stage. There is a saying in our language. Naste na janle, uthaner dosh. If you do not know how to, if you dance properly, you blame the stage. And if you want to dance, dance well, otherwise quit the stage. That is a very good advice. Act your role in a very nice way, so that you may not face any kind of criticism. So Vyasa got this clairvoyance and clairaudience power from Dhritarashtra. From Vyasa. First, we shall hear from Sanjaya that who are taking the leading roles in this war? Who are the great warriors in both sides? Then Sanjaya will tell that blind king the signal of war, that they are playing the conches and drums and kettle drums and bugles. Then Arjuna requested Krishna, why don't you drive my chariot in between the two armies? I like to see with whom shall I fight. You see, he was the hero in the Mahabharata. I like to see. Who has come to fight with me? So Krishna obeyed because he was the charioteer. He drove the chariot and Arjuna saw his own people, his grandfather, his guru, his nephews, his cousins. And all of a sudden, Arjuna was confused. You will listen that what are the arguments Arjuna put so that he could avoid the war. And at last, he collapsed. Collapse doesn't mean that he was dead. He simply sat down, immersed in grief. No, I shall not. It is better to lead a life of a mendicant. I want to beg from door to door. I don't care for freedom. I don't want to kill my own kith and kin. Then the real Gita will begin. Let me read for the first verse of the Gita. Dharma kshetre kurukshetre samaveta yujutsavah mamaka panjava shaiva kim apurvata sanjayah. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, tell me what happened at Kurukshetra on the battlefield of Dharma, where my family and the Pandavas gathered to fight. I'd like to know what was happening. You see, the Gita, Mahatma Gandhi said, is not a historical discourse. A physical illustration is often needed to drive home a spiritual truth. It is the description not of war between cousins, but between two natures in us, the good and evil. It is interesting. I told you that when we were taught these scriptures, we are taught in a very traditional way. Our teachers used to squeeze each verse so that we can get some juice. I told you that plain translation. Now I am going to unveil the mystery behind this verse. Dharma kshetre kurukshetre. Dharma kshetram is field. Kurukshetre, at the field of action. These two powers came to decide whether truth will win or untruth will get victory. It is a decisive battle. What is the battlefield? Dharma, which decides the righteousness. So Gita, the Gita teaches us, your life must be based on Dharma. Over the Dharma, you do your duty. Kurukshetre, field of action. First Dharma, then activity. Not that first activity, then Dharma. No. First Dharma. Religion would be at your base. Do you know why religion should be at the base? If religion is not at the base of the structure of your life, you will be in deep trouble. If this building's base, the foundation is shaky, this whole building will be shaky. There will be, if the one portion of the house sinks, then there will be cracks all over the house because the basement is base, the foundation is not correct. Foundation is the most important thing of a building. You know it very well. All this sky, you know, scraper, all these things, foundation is the basic thing. Your life must be based on religion. Look, if your life is based on economics, money, Karl Marx wanted that the life should be based on money, wealth, your life will be in turmoil. You see, money fluctuates. Inflation, depression, various ways money fluctuates. So your life will fluctuate. At the base of the foundation of the building, if it fluctuates, the building collapses. So if money is the base of your life, you will collapse. If you get good news from the stock market, you are happy. If there is bad news from the stock market, you will commit suicide. If you lose all money, if banks, you know, becomes debt or out of business, then you will collapse. See, you see, same thing. Other way you can think, no other things. Economics, social structure, political structure, look. It is so temporary. Today, you are the president of the United States, or you are the king of Buckingham Palace, or president of India. It is a matter of election. Next day, they will throw you out. Today, millions of people are going to see you. Next day, nobody is going to pay any attention to you. So littleness, it is very impermanent, transitory. But if your life is based on religion, righteousness, you have a very strong structure, nobody can shake it. So, the Gita teaches first, make your life, build your life on dharma, righteousness, truth. Then, start your activities, do your duty. Samabeta Jujutsava, they came to fight my children and the children of Pandu. Tell me what happened. Now you see this old king, you are thinking that he is an innocent person, blind, does not know anything. That crookedness is there in his mind. You, in this simple conversation, you did not listen, you did not find his crookedness. Do you know what is this crookedness, shrewdness? He was thinking that this Kurukshetra, name of that place is really Kurukshetra. One of the ancestors of this dynasty was an illumined soul, and he got illumination in that place. So this blind king is asking this minister, what happened? My sons and Pandu's sons came to fight, what happened? What happened means, he knew very well that his sons are very unrighteous. But he wanted that his sons should get the kingdom. And he knew that Pandu's sons, that Arjuna and those five brothers, are very righteous. So he was thinking that when they came to fight in that spiritual holy place, all of a sudden their minds must be turned. Most probably they will be influenced by dharma. Moreover, Arjuna's elder brother Yudhishthira was the embodiment of dharma. So perhaps they will withdraw from that war. They will give the whole kingdom to my sons, and then again they will go back to the forest. So he was thinking that, in this way perhaps I could avoid that war, and my sons may get. He was a very partial, shrewd person, this old blind king. Dharma Kshetri, Guru Kshetri. They came, what happened? It is very interesting. As I told you, you can see the Gita from allegorical standpoint, that it is a fight between the divine nature and demoniacal nature. What is divine nature? Krishna will describe in the 16th chapter of the Gita. What is demoniacal nature? That also Krishna will explain in the 16th chapter of the Gita. You see, please watch this way. The divine beings are full of knowledge. And the demons are full of ignorance. The gods have no doubts. The demons also have no doubt. Doubt comes to human beings. Do you know why? Because you don't have complete knowledge. So doubt is there. You don't have complete ignorance also. So doubt comes in the human mind. You see, If your mind is full of knowledge, there is no chance of doubt. And if your mind is full of ignorance, you have no chance of doubt. If you are in full of light, or you are in full of darkness, you have no doubt. A doubt comes in between. A half darkness, half knowledge. You see, doubt comes when there are two. Suppose I invited Mr. Johnson and Mr. Norton. And in darkness, in the evening, in darkness, both are entering through my gate. When Mr. Norton is coming from a distance, I was thinking, is it Johnson or Norton? Because I am not seeing clearly, because he is entering from a distance. But if I invited only one person, then I am definite that that person is coming. You see, doubt comes when there are two. So in the domain of Maya, in this world, is nothing but the pairs of opposites, happiness, misery, profit, loss, good, evil. This is the world. So long you are in this world, you will have these two. If you transcend these two pairs of opposites, you are in God. You are in Brahman. You are in the Atman. That is the goal of Vedanta. Vedanta will give you a lift where this duality does not function. That is the goal of Vedanta. Oneness. Unified consciousness. Where you will feel that Sarvam Khalvi Idam Brahma. Everything is truly, verily Brahman and nothing but Brahman. All through my life I see only God and God alone. That is the goal of Vedanta. There is no Christianity or Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism. Vedanta wants to give you a lift where there is no ism. Only one. That ultimate reality. Experiencing that, you will see God in everything. So, all through the Gita, you will find Arjuna is asking questions. He is a human being. So he has a lot of doubts. So he was clearing those doubts through Krishna. Whose answers never fails. He is Antaryami, all-knowing God. He knows every little things of your personal life. You cannot hide anything from God. He knows your every thought, every action. That Krishna is guiding Arjuna. So you may befool me, but you cannot befool Krishna. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, people come here, I see their minds as we see things through a glass window or in a glass cabinet. You see everything inside. I see their mind, but I don't say anything to them because they will feel bad. No human beings are perfect, is perfect. We have come here for perfection. We have so many shortcomings, but don't pay attention to those little things. So, in the Gita we shall find Krishna taught Arjuna that how to see the self, how to realize the self through practicing yoga. You see, you are practicing yoga all the time. All the time you are practicing without knowing. Gita will teach you how one can practice the yoga consciously. It 2,500 years ago or 3,000 years ago, the question arose in Arjuna's mind. Same questions arise in our minds even today. Questions are very few, answers are same. Questions and answers all through the cycle are coming the same way. The questions were asked to Christ, those questions are even today in our mind. And same answer was repeated by different incarnations of God, different illumined souls in different ways. Let me read a little the Gita. Some places I may read a little Sanskrit, please don't feel bold. Some places I may not. In the second chapter I may read Paras a little bit more. First chapter I shall not read too much. You may think that Paras I am reading some Latin or Greek, Lord knows. Sanjayuvacham Drishtvato Pandava Nikam Bodham Durjodhanastadam Acharyam Upasangamya Raja Pachanam Abravi Pashetan Pandupotranam Acharyam Mahatim Chamum Buddham Drupadaputrena Tavashishena Bhimatam Aparyaptam Tadasmakam Balang Bhishma Virakshitam Paryaptam Tuidametesam Balang Bhima Virakshitam Ayaneshu Chasarveshu Yatabhagam Abhastitaha Bhishma Veva Virakshantu Savanta Sarvayivahi. Sanjaya said, I read from 2 to 11, actually I did not read all verses. Sanjaya said, having surveyed the forces of the Pandavas arrayed for battle, Duryodhana, the prince, approached his teacher and spoke. Duryodhana is the king, eldest son of Dhritarashtra, approached to Drona, their teacher, the guru who taught them archery, who took the part of Duryodhana. Oh, my teacher, look at this mighty army of the Pandavas. It has been assembled by your gifted disciple, the son of Drupada. There are heroic warriors and great archers who are equals of Bhima and Arjuna. Yuyudhana, the mighty Virata, Drupada, Drishtaketu, Shekitana, the valiant king of Kashi, Uruji, Kuntibhoja, the great leader Shaibya, the powerful Yudhamanu, the valiant Uttamaujas, the son of Shubhadra, and the sons of Draupadi, all these command mighty chariots. You who are the best of the Brahmins, listen to the names of those who are distinguished among us, Bhishma, Karna, and the victorious Kripa, Ashwatthama, Bikarna, and the son of Somadatta. There are many others too, heroes giving up their lives for my sake. They are all proficient in war and armed with a variety of weapons. Our army is unlimited and commanded by Bhishma. Theirs is a small and commanded by Bhima. Let everyone take his proper place and stand firm, supporting Bhishma. This Duryodhana went to Drona, their guru. Do you know why? Because when they were united, when they were young kids, all were trained by this teacher. And this teacher was very fond of Arjuna, so that he may not be partial to his disciple, best disciple Arjuna. So he was trying, went to him to convince him that you please fight well with me for my sake. You know, so he was convincing. Now, he was the king, but he was afraid. So he was running to the commanders, to the chariot, to the fighters, to the generals, please fight well for me, I may lose the battle. Then he was thinking, again he was pretending, oh, don't think that I am afraid of anything. My army is unlimited. Their army is limited. Because I have 11 million, they have only 7 million. So in numerical figures, we are quite strong. And moreover, my generals are also not inferior. Bhishma, you and other warriors also are with me. There is nothing to explain here, just a drama. They are now stating the actors and actresses in the drama. I remember when I was many years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I wrote an article on a Sanskrit drama. Name of the drama is Prabodho Chandrodaya. There was a teacher who was a poet as well as a philosopher. And he was an illumined soul. And his disciples, you know, were not interested in Vedanta because they said Vedanta is dry. Vedanta was dry. The teacher said, "Is that so? Then I can write a drama and can make Vedanta interesting." So he wrote this drama and made Vedanta interesting. He showed a battle. Mind is the battlefield. And there was a war between two kings. Who are those kings? Discrimination and delusion. These are the two kings. You know, all these human emotions, thoughts, took human forms in the drama. What are those characters? It is very interesting. Viveka, discrimination, is the king. His wife is intellect. And his friend is contentment. His son is knowledge, faith, peace, compassion, devotion, forgiveness, renunciation, meditation. These are all his companions. And he is fighting against delusion. Who are the companions of delusion? The wife of delusion is? No, not wife. No. Yeah. The wife of delusion is mithya drishti, false knowledge, false perception. Passion, anger, ego, greediness, pride, desires, jealousy. These are all companions of delusion. So there was a battle between these two powers. It is very interesting. I cannot explain to you how interesting is that drama. I spent nearly 5-6 months to read the drama and to write an article. Swami Vivekananda talked about that drama in the Thousand Island Park. The Sanskrit drama, Prabhu Chandradaya, records the fight between the two kings, delusion and discrimination. King Discrimination could not gain a complete victory. At last, he was reunited with the goddess Upanishad. A son was born to them called Prabodha, knowledge. Through the influence of this boy, they could not look upon anyone as an enemy. Consequently, they spend their days in great happiness. We too must beget a glorious son, like Prabodha, knowledge. We must nourish him and help him to grow. Thus, he will become a great hero. It is an allegorical drama. Then what happened? After Duryodhana described that these are my people, these are the people of the other party, they assembled in the battlefield. Then the powerful Bhishma, the grandsire, oldest of the Kurus, in order to cheer Duryodhana, roared like a lion and blew his conch horn. And after Bhishma, there was a tremendous noise of conches and cow horns and pounding on drums. Then Shri Krishna and Arjuna, who were standing in a mighty chariot, yoked with white horses, blew their divine conches. Now, Swami, what is going on? In olden days, that is the way they used to give the signal that now the war begins. Who blew the conch first? Bhishma, the commander-in-chief of the unrighteous party, means he is the aggressor. What type of noise he made? Like a lion, roaring lion. What type of noise the Pandavas made? Dibbau Shankhau Pradadmatu. Krishna blew his divine conch. You see, they have beast nature, bestial nature. So they blew that type of sound, made that type of sound. And they have divine nature, so they made divine sound. Tato shetvair hoir yukti. Arjuna, in Arjuna's chariot, there are four horses. All are white color. What does it mean? Because they are pure. They are righteous. And that chariot was given by a god to Arjuna. So he is very powerful. Always remember, they are setting a drama. You see, in drama, if you go to Shakespearean drama, they try to bring that 18th century, 19th century England, that type of screen, you will find it back. So this poet, this real Vyasa is trying to depict a scene so that you can visualize what is going on. Then he will tell you the real Gita. So that you can visualize that the battlefield, they are about to kill each other. What happened? He's making some kind of suspense, and you know, inside. Shri Krishna blew the conch named Panchajanya, and Arjuna blew that called Devadatta. The mighty Bhima blew the huge conch Pandura. Yudhishthira, the king of the son of Kunti, blew the conch Ananta Vijaya. Nakula and Sahadeva blew their conches as well. The king of Kashi, the leading bowman, the great warrior Shikhandi, Drishtadumna, Virata, the invincible Shataki, Drupada, all the sons of Draupadi and the sons of Subhadra, with the mighty arms, all blew their conches. And the noise tore through the heart of Duryodhana's army. Indeed, the sound was tumultuous, echoing throughout heaven and earth. Buddha said, hatred will never cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases only through love. Saint Assisi said, it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. But you know, when a person's mind is full of unrighteousness, vindictiveness, you cannot stop. It is hard to stop that person. He will not listen to you. There is a saying in our language, a thief will not listen a sermon. Then, O Dhritarashtra, Lord of the earth, having seen your son's forces set in their places and the fighting about to begin, Arjuna spoke these words to Sri Krishna. Arjuna, O Kirish Krishna, drive my chariot between the two armies. I want to see those who desire to fight with me. With whom will this battle be fought? I wish to see those assembled to fight for Duryodhana, those who desire to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra by engaging in war. Sanjaya said, thus Arjuna spoke, and Sri Krishna, driving his splendid chariot between the two armies facing Bhishma and Drona and all the kings of the earth, said, Arjuna, behold all the Kurus gathered together. And Arjuna, as he stood between the two armies, saw fathers and grandfathers, teachers, uncles and brothers, sons and grandsons, in-laws and friends, seeing his kinsmen established in opposition, Arjuna fell into confusion and mournfully spoke these words. Arjuna, O Krishna, I see my own relations here with the desire to fight, and my limbs are weak, my mouth is dry, my body is shaking, and my hair is standing on end. My skin is burning, and the bow, Gandiva, has slipped from my hand. I am unable to stand, and my mind seems to be whirling. The signs are evil for us. I do not see that any good can come from killing our relations in battle. O Krishna, I do not desire victory, or a kingdom, or pleasures. Or what use is a kingdom, O Govinda, or pleasure, or even life? Those for whose sake we would desire a kingdom, or pleasure, or happiness, teachers, fathers, sons, even grandfathers, uncles, in-laws, grandsons, and others with family ties, they are engaging in these battles, renouncing their wealth and their lives. Even if they were to kill me, O Krishna, I would not want to kill them. Not even to become ruler of the three worlds. How much less for the earth alone? O Krishna, what satisfaction could we find in killing Dhritarashtra's sons? We would become sinners by slaying these men, even though evil. The sons of Dhritarashtra are related to us. Therefore, we should not kill them, O Madhava. How can we gain happiness by killing members of our own family? Though they are overpowered by greed and do not see evil in the decay of the family or the sin in enduring frames, we see the evil which comes from the destruction of the family. Why should not we turn away from this sin? You see, here we find a Shatya quality, the divine quality, appeared in the upper level of Arjuna's mind. Because it is a field of dharma, that place is a very, very holy place. You see, when you go to a holy place, that holy vibration will lift you up, will force you to think about God. So, all because his mind was pure, so all these holy thoughts appeared on the surface of his mind. But it did not happen to the unrighteous party. They were greedy. They were thinking that killing these five brothers and their army, we shall enjoy the entire kingdom. But Arjuna's mind is full of Shatya quality. Arjuna further explained to Krishna, when a family declines, ancient traditions are destroyed. With them are lost the spiritual foundations for life, and the entire family loses its sense of unity. O Krishna, where there is no sense of unity, the women of the family become corrupt. With the corruption of the women, O Varshneya, society is plunged into chaos. Social chaos is hell for the family. For those who have destroyed the family as well, it disrupts the process of spiritual evolution begun by our ancestors. Arjuna foresaw the effect of the war. You see, truly speaking, women are the protectors of the society. According to the ancient tradition of the Hindus, that they preserve the spiritual culture. When they are young, they are trained by their parents. When they are young girls, when they get married, at that time, they are trained by their husbands. When they are old, they are protected by their sons, But all the time, they preserve culture, spiritual culture. You see, a home becomes the abode of peace by the women. If they want to destroy the peace, nobody can save it, protect it. So Arjuna said that what will happen, do you know? When many people will die, the culture will die, corruption will come. From corruption, the whole society will be cured. You see, always remember, the growth of a nation depends upon the chastity of the nation. When chastity declines, you will find the society will decline, the nation will decline. They are all interconnected, believe me. You know, in the battlefield, if the soldiers, you know, if they become immoral in the army, if there is immorality, that army, demoralized army, cannot win the battle. Because it needs discipline to win in the battle. Same thing in the society. Discipline. Culture. You see, Swami Vivekananda understood, Sri Ramakrishna also understood. A bird cannot fly with one wing. Two wings are necessary. Both men and women contribute equally to preserve the culture. You see, during the later part in the 18th century, 19th century, after the Mohammedan invasion, women education in India was very much neglected. The women could not come to the forefront out of fear. The Mohammedans will kidnap the girls. But during the later part of the 19th century, Swami Vivekananda, one of the pioneers, the Brahmos started early to give more education to the women. So he borrowed American girl, Sister Christine. He borrowed Sister Nivedita, Miss Margaret Noble, from England to train Indian women. We need education among the women. Arjuna understood that there will be corruption, chaos in the society. This Holocaust will ruin this nation. Please remember, in this Mahabharata, it is a decisive battle. Kings came all over India. Those who are righteous, they joined the righteous party. Those who are unrighteous, they joined the unrighteous party. Of course, they had some obligations. Anyhow, it was a decisive battle between the truth and the untruth. Arjuna further continued, social chaos is hell for the family and for those who have destroyed the family as well. It disrupts the process of spiritual evolution begun by our ancestors. The timeless spiritual foundations of the family and society are destroyed by these terrible deeds which violate the unity of life. It is said that those who have lost sight of this unity dwell in hell. This is a great sin. We are prepared to kill our own relations out of greed for the pleasures of a kingdom. If the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, attack me in battle, and if they kill me unarmed and unresisting, that would be better for me. Sanjay Uvacha, Evam Uktva Arjuna Sankhi Rathupastha Upavishat Visrijya Sasaram Chapam Shuka Sangvigna Manasaha. Sanjaya said, overwhelmed by sorrow, Arjuna spoke these words, and casting away his bow and his arrows, he sat down in his chariot in the middle of the battlefield. That is the first chapter of the Gita. Arjuna was completely broken-hearted. He fell down, his head down, immersed in grief, said to Krishna, "I shall not fight." But look, before the war, do you know what he said? "I have Pashupata Astra. I got the weapon, an arrow from Lord Shiva. If I use that arrow, that 11 million people will be killed instantly." Before the war, these commander generals, these generals are asked, "How many days do you need to kill the 11 million? Somebody says, "I need 1 month, somebody says 15 days, somebody says 10 days. Even the other opponents also were asked in the same way, "How many days do you need to finish this enemy?" "Well, I need 7 days, somebody says 10 days, somebody says 15 days. When Arjuna was asked, "How much time do you need to finish the army, the enemy?" Eka muhurta, one moment. But it was told by Shiva, the great God, "Use this weapon when your life is endangered, not before." So he did not use that weapon in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He used many other weapons, but never he touched that weapon. It is just like an hydrogen bomb, you know, you can think that way. And you drop one bomb, finish everybody. You know, it is amazing, the conception you have. Oh, I was reading. It is real Maya. I was reading, what is it called, today or yesterday, Jack Anderson's column. That one American spy plane, you know, was near the Mediterranean Sea, in the Arabian world. It was watching, you know, it is a spy plane. And the plane came in the radar of Libya, and they sent a squadron of MiG to shoot that plane, you know, American plane. And the American plane had a device that it turned the switch, and immediately it created some kind of haziness on the radar of the MiGs, and it showed that 16 planes are flying at a time. One plane, I read it, you know, yesterday. One plane, they turned the switch, and immediately it looked that the 16 planes are flying over them. So the MiGs, all that one squadron of MiGs were confused. They do not know which one was the real plane. Maya! I was amazing when I was reading it. I was so happy. I was so happy, you know. Look, this is real Maya. I remember once Swami Suryananda went to see a theater in San Francisco. Then one girl, she was dancing. And on this stage, there are some glass, you know, mirrors, large mirrors. And one girl was looking, 7 girls was dancing at the same time. You can see, I do not know whether you have seen in America, the beautiful, in Disneyland, 9 cameras at a time. You will see in the 9 large screens at America, the beautiful. So sometimes you may get dizzy. You will have to hold the bar. You will have to see that feeling, that show in Disneyland. I saw it several times. Anyhow, so when Swami Suryananda came out from the theater, an American devotee asked, in San Francisco, "Swami, how did you see that thing, that theater?" "Oh, it is Maya. But you know, all are Maya, but this is a beautiful Maya." That one girl became 7 girls on the stage. It is a beautiful Maya. He said such a beautiful comment. "But all are Maya, but this is a beautiful Maya." So I was reading, is it possible that, you know, they can turn the switch, some kind of electronic device, in one plane becomes, They put 16 shajat, you know, on their razor. So they are confused. The Libyan people are confused, you know. Their meeks are all confused. I read it yesterday in the Jack Anderson's column. So everything is Maya. So you have seen tonight that Arjuna is in deep trouble. He is in deep Maya, in ignorance. He is confused. Sidanti mama gatrani mukhanja parishushyati. My body is shivering. I get burning sensation. Tears are coming. My voice is choked. I cannot speak. I cannot see. I am confused. Then in the second chapter, he will say, Shishvaste aham shadimam tam prapannam. I take refuge in you. I want to be your disciple. Guide me. I am helpless. Please help me, O Krishna. The great hero is confused. Sometimes, time to time, you know, you will listen to that lecture next Sunday, Healing and Creative Power of Silence by Swami Nikhilananda. I shall not be here. Swami Nikhilananda, owing to Mahatma Gandhi, I can tell you one advanced story from that lecture because I listened to it. He went to Mahatma Gandhi and he was fasting and he was observing silence. So Swami Nikhilananda went and requested him, please, your body is not for, it is not yours, but your body, this body belongs to the whole nation. Please take some food, save your life. You are the great leader. Then Gandhi said, Swamiji, sometimes I face so many problems in my life, I don't find the way out. Then I start fasting. I start my prayer. I observe silence. And I get find light within. God guides me. I find the way through spiritual. Way, I find my solution. Which is very interesting. Sometimes we find in our lives too. Don't think we don't get confused. When we get confused, we close the door and we, Lord, everything is Maya. Get out from this world. Who am I to do good to the world? Meditate on the Lord. Nobody can do, you know, if Lord does not do through me, we cannot do anything. We are like puppets. God is the doer. We are all instruments. Do you have any questions? Oh, yes, it goes in a wave fall. It must decline. No, the wave again will rise. You see, always you remember the chastity, unchastity. Chastity, unchastity. In this way, religion moves this way. Everything moves in that direction. History never goes in a straight line. Ups and downs are there. That is where it goes. A big fall means a big rise. Always remember that. When you find the wave has gone very deep, you will find next wave will rise very high. You have seen in the ocean. That is the way it goes. Yes. Dharma means duty, dharma means religion, dharma means truth, dharma means righteousness, dharma means many things. Dharma means qualities, but dharma means nature, dharma means property. Here I distinguish dharma means righteousness, truth, according to the context. I am sannyasi, I have my own dharma. You are a housewife, you are your dharma. Your husband has your dharma. Your son has his dharma. Each person has dharma. Duty. Dharma according to context, dharma meaning changes. Om asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya, abir abir ma yedhi. Rudra jate dakshinamukam tinamam pahi nityam om shanti shanti shanti. lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from death to immortality, light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace.